The human being, whenever he does an action, implements an action, then his, you could say, approach is that he needs to take some benefit from the action. If he, for example, conducts business, then his thought process is that I need to benefit somehow from this business, from this occupation. Any type of work that a person embarks upon, that person has this objective that I need to take some worldly benefit from this. If he plants a tree, if a person plants a tree, then if he knows that there's benefit in planting that tree, that's why the action is done. In his mind, he has the thought that if I plant this tree will grow, then the fruits will grow from this tree, which I will eat. Without any reason, he would not plant the tree. If it's a mango tree, in your mind, you'll think the mangoes will grow, we'll eat the mangoes. If it's pears or whatever fruits or whatever it is, then your thought process will be the fruits will grow after the tree grows and I'll consume those. So that's an example. We can also understand with these examples that when somebody plants a tree, a human being, and he wants to take full benefit, take the fruits, then most definitely he has to protect that tree. He has to look after that tree. And it will only be a stupid person who wants that I will farm and I will sow and I will plant the seeds and grow the wheat. And to attain that wheat or to attain the fruit from that tree, the most important action will be to protect that tree, to shelter that tree. You see, any farmer, any agricultural related person, he will never leave the fields without any care or attention. No, after planting the tree, never leaves the tree alone. Never. So in protecting the tree, or let's take plants, what does a person do? A gardener, a person who's growing plants, and firstly, to grow or plant the tree, you need good soil, nice piece of earth, nice piece of land. Then you'll think, what tree shall I plant in? And alongside that, at the same time, for that plant, for that tree to plant the seed, is the first action. Then you need the soil, the earth, you need some fertilizer to assist the growth, and more important than that, you need the climate that is compatible with that intention for whatever you're growing, the wind, the air, the temperature, most importantly, without which a plant cannot grow, which is water. And water in our countries, there are so many arguments over farmland. People kill each other over access to water, distribution of the water. You need the earth and the fertilizer and the seed. If you don't have water, then that plant is not going to grow at all. There's going to be no harvest. You put the seed, it will maybe get weak, it will wither away because of no water, moisture. This is the case, isn't it? This is an example for us to understand. So what we realize is that any plant, any tree, anything we want to grow, most important is what? Water. Water. With water, we get the result. If you continue to water that land, the earth, the plant will grow. Even if you want to plant something at home, don't you water that plant? If you don't water that plant, then the plant will die away. It will wither away. So water anyway is important for human beings. You're sitting me, 95%, I think, we're water, isn't it? If we take the water out of our bodies, if we extract that, we'll be nothing. Our old body, 95%, we are consist of water, moisture. So even the body of a human being is existent on water. Plants are existent on water. This example you've understood, I think, so I'll come to the real point now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives us the tawfiq to do an amal, He gives us ability to do amal. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So that we can arouse ourselves with the dhikr of Allah. When Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq, ability, capability to do an action, amal, then behind that, don't we think that with this deed we're going to get benefit? We have this intention, don't we? Thought process. Maybe, actually we don't. We pray salah. Oh, I've just prayed. Actually, we don't have that thought process. Have you recited Quran? Yes, I've recited the Quran. Have you done Umrah Hajj? Yes, yes, I've done Umrah. I've recited. This is what we say, isn't it? Sometimes we should think that when you plant the tree, don't you think that I'm going to take the fruits from this tree? Have you thought that this salah that I've just prayed, Allah gave me the tawfiq to pray this salah, with this salah, shall I take the full benefit? Salah has so many brilliant benefits that a person cannot imagine the benefits of salah. Look at what's the value of a plant? What's the value of a mango tree comparable to salah? Nothing. Nothing. But salah is such a great action that the more all of the ibadat, all the worship actions, their ruh, their soul is what? Say loudly, salah. We do everything. We don't pray salah. Nothing. No benefit. Allah Ta'ala, that's why Allah didn't give salah on the earth. Allah Ta'ala bestowed salah to us in the heavens. The gift of salah in the heavens, it was given to us. So such a great deed we are doing, performing salah. Allah has given us the ability to do it. Have we ever thought, from this salah I've got to take benefit? I've got to take benefit. So if you take benefit from a plant, I'm going to take benefit from the fruits from the plant. That when you protect that deed that you're doing, won't you do it? Of course you will. So then what protection do we give to salah? Tell me. What protection do we give? When you plant the tree, the plant, you say, oh, it'll grow itself. You don't protect it. We'll give the fruit to you. Salah, we prayed. I've prayed salah. I've read salah. But will I get benefit from the salah? What a big benefit of salah. If we see, pay attention, focus. Salah is the miraj of the mu'min. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. End of story. This is that deed Allah has given to us, bestowed to us. That salah, this is that amal I'm giving to Allah. Says, you speak to me, I'll speak to you. We'll converse. And it happens. It happens. A person who really prays salah, ask him, subhanallah. A person who really prays, I'll ask him. He says that in salah, I keep on discussing and conversing with Allah. I do du'as, Allah accepts. I do du'as, Allah accepts. Subhanallah. When Allah has said salah is miraj, then definitely it's miraj, isn't it? Isn't it? It's not some normal person who said it. Oh, this is what it is. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say things for the sake of it, does he? Allah says, take salah. I'm giving you prayer. Pray it correctly. Establish it. This salah is a gift for you. Such a great gift for you that when you speak to me, when you want to speak to me, when you want to come close to me and speak to me and converse with me and attain something from me, pray salah. Two rakah salah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why Allah has given us this ibadah, and that's why Allah Ta'ala has given us this connection of salah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has extreme love with the mu'min. Extreme love with the mu'min. Immense love with the mu'min. So to demonstrate that love, Allah Ta'ala has kept a connection with the mu'min, that if you take any ibadah, any worship action, is there any action where Allah Ta'ala calls us 5 times a day? Allah says, no, wake up in the morning, come to me. Allah says, with this ibadah, come to me in the afternoon. With this ibadah, subhanAllah, when the sun is soon going to set, come to me at that time. When it sets, come to me. And when it's night time, come to me as well. When the night falls, come to me definitely as well, Allah says. Subhanallah. So this is a fantastic, Allah's forced upon us. Allah says, make it for them, because they're not, they haven't got the intellect. They don't know how Allah Ta'ala loves you immensely. Allah has the desire, He wants to speak to you, converse with you. Allah likes it that you're sad in the world, thousands of issues surround you. Who will help you? Allah says, who will care for you? And that if you don't, no one cares, you'll go to the idols, you'll run to the trees and ask from them, you'll run after people to ask for them. But the glory of the Mu'min, Allah says, you recited the kalima. Allah says, I don't want. Allah says, I don't want. When you're surrounded by issues in the world, sadness, disputes, quarrels, Allah says that I've given you the space and time, come to me so we can speak to each other. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Cannot be. If Allah says, I'll give to you, that He doesn't give, impossible. Impossible. Allah says, when you pray, you go with contentment, satisfaction. Isn't this the case, brothers? Shaitan says, leave him. Oh, what's the point of praying fard and salah at that time? He's lazy and negligent, the person. Salah deviates the person, makes him a waster. So the biggest point here, is that the plant, we protected it, the tree, just to grow the fruits like mangoes or to acquire other fruits. So is this the case that don't we get the tawfiq that we should protect the salah as bestowed to us? And without protection, how will the benefits of salah come to us? Tell me, shaitan and nafs, when they grab our salah, take our salah away from us, and they crush the benefits. For example, you grow a tree or plant, the spiders come, the insects come, they devour that fruit. Then we spray the chemical on the fruit or the vegetable so that the insects don't devour it and waste it. In the same way, Allah has given us the protection for salah. For salah. In the same way, with every good deed, there's protection. I've just given the example of salah. And the most important factor here is when Allah gives us the tawfiq to pray salah, then you tell me what a great tawfiq Allah Ta'ala has given to us. That the person who gets the tawfiq to pray salah, he is separate from millions of people who don't have the tawfiq to pray salah. Even though they recite kalima and have iman, do other actions. But the person who prays salah, he is different from millions and millions of those people who don't pray salah. Allah has decided immediately at that time, the person who doesn't pray salah and he who prays salah, big difference, immediate difference, impact. Allah's karam and grace and blessings, that Allah Ta'ala saved us from such a big loss that if we pray salah, subhanAllah, Allah's massive mercy on us, me, you, I am saved from that person who Allah has given azab to, that person who doesn't pray salah. Allah said that he has attached himself to kufr. Rather, in some riwayah, some narrations, it is stated, the person's out of the fold of Islam. Tell me. What is the point of business and trade and those shops and those businesses and those homes, and a person doesn't pray salah? What's the point of all those things? What will he depart from this world with, that person who doesn't pray salah? One salah, not all the salahs, that all salahs he doesn't pray. Okay, Allah said, no, okay, just leave one salah, I won't do nothing. One salah, in fact, he is attached to the boundary of kufr. He comes out of the boundary of Islam. One salah, if that person leaves, then he says, why is it I don't get what I want? Why isn't there any blessings in my life? All of the wealth of the world put in front of you, shops, businesses, trade. What's the worth of them, the person who doesn't pray salah? What's the worth of that money? What's he doing it for? Tell me. This is just a mindset. Happiness temporary, that he sins and he thinks he's earning big amounts of bucks. Big bucks. Money. No, he's earning nothing. So Allah saved us from a massive loss. The person who doesn't pray salah, Allah says on his face, it's written the curse. It's written, inscribed the history on that face of the person. And all the angels read his history. The angels, what do they read? Allah himself, such people, Allah opens their hearts of the human beings, even those pious human beings, they can see on the face of that wretched person who doesn't pray salah. They read it. The history, Allah Ta'ala has inscribed, the person who left Fajr, who left Dhuhr, who left Asr, and he doesn't pray, waste time sitting at home. Oh, I'll come sometime, I'll pray sometime when I care, when I feel like it. Tell me. So brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes on the face of that person, inscribes the fact. Three statements are written on that person's face. Allah inscribes the person who doesn't pray salah, who purposely leaves salah, who doesn't pray salah. Number one fact, Allah inscribes on that person's face that this man, he has taken Allah's right. Allah. Imagine the person on whose face is written that he has broken the rights of Allah. In the universe, will any piece of nature ask and look at that person? Will an angel care for that person? Will anyone have sympathy for that person who breaks Allah's rights? He who doesn't believe in this, he has no iman in his heart. Allah Ta'ala has explained everything to us clearly. Allah says, I'm telling you now, if you believe this, good. And if you don't believe, no iman. The person with iman has to believe this fact. That if you leave salah, one salah, then statement one inscribed on your face is you have broken the right of Allah. Tell me this now. The person who doesn't pray salah. Number two, it's written that he is surrounded by Allah's ghazab and wrath. What a massive scenario. Allah's announcing, get away from this person. Allah's anger is surrounding this person. Anytime Allah can destroy this person, his children will be destroyed, his house will be destroyed. In Jahannam, he'll be thrown. It's written, inscribed on his face. Statement number two. That is. Don't we have pity on the people in our homes when you go to pray salah? Your brother, your relative, your son, children are sat at home. Don't you feel pity on them when they don't pray salah? What is the hal of this person? Don't you feel pity on that person? Don't you feel the shame, the loss? Don't you care? Such a big azab Allah has inscribed on his face. It's written on his face. My ghazab has surrounded this person. My wrath, my anger. Tell me. And the third statement which is inscribed, this individual is far from Allah's mercy. Far. Because one assistance we have of Allah's, we have Allah's mercy. We sin, we make mistakes, we do wrong. We say, Allah is your mercy, Allah, I seek your mercy. And then Allah forgives. With Allah's mercy, Allah forgives. Make a mistake, you err, you fall down, say, Allah, I'm worthless, Allah, I need your assistance. What is assistance do we seek? Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmati. What? We recite this, don't we? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in sajda, he recited this dua in Badr, in Uhud. So when you go in sajda, and you recite this dua, lengthy dua, just one statement. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghiz, subhanallah. Quran, this statement, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated. Great situation was, there was a challenge. There was extreme challenge all night long at that time. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum in prostration, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmati. Allah, we can only succeed with one thing, when your rahmah descends to us. Allah, Rasulullah recited this one. He taught us this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us ta'aleem. In the world, when you lose hope with your sicknesses, your illnesses, your disease, there's no cure, no way out, you are surrounded by sadness, distress, then foolish people, why do you go to other factors and solutions? Come to Allah's rahmah. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. What a massive statement. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Such a great kalima this is. Such a great kalima. A man can never imagine. Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Subhanallah. Allah has, we have to say alhamdulillah loudly. Allah given us tawfiq. Day and night you recite this kalima. Subhanallah. I can't enjoy your subhanallah. Such a great kalima. And this is your gratefulness. Say it loudly. Subhanallah. Angels are happy. Yes, he appreciates this kalima. Millions of people morning and evening. You're different from them. That morning and evening you sit and you do wird of this kalima. Allah says the more you recite this kalima, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. That's why the Sufis time and time again recite this kalima. The more they recite, the more Allah is happy with them. That's why we do dhikr time and time again, time and time again, time and time. You know, sometimes you see, you like something, you like a poem or a verse. People who like music, the lyrics, time and time again, they repeat the lyrics. So Sufis, why do you recite Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum? You don't know in their hearts how much noor comes from this kalama, so much noor. Yes, don't you like when you recite this? Don't you enjoy it? Those people say subhanallah loudly, subhanallah. Who love this kalima? Subhanallah. Eh? You said it after, too late. Everyone said it before you. Subhanallah. So then, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he request? Allah's rahmah, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Extreme difficulty need. Allah says, such a need, such a time. Allah, we can see no help coming from no in the world. And the enemy has a lot of power. They're enjoying themselves, laughing. And until the evening, they thought that they will wipe away the Muslimin. At that time, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught his ummah tariqah. Every action of Rasulullah was ta'aleem. Every action. Was it not enough for him? He just had to say one thing. The mountain would have come and crumbled to dust. The mountain. Love Rasulullah. All Rasulullah had to do was usher it. If he can call the trees, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did the trees not come when he beckoned them? No. So could Rasulullah not beckon the Mount of Uhud? He would have wiped them all away. But no, he wanted to teach ta'aleem to the ummah that don't fear. You're not without assistance. If you have a close link with Allah, then immediately go to Allah's rahmah, mercy. Ask Allah for His mercy. Then what happened? Well, Allah's Nabi requested rahmah and gave us ta'lim education. Ask Allah for rahmah. Don't be upset. Then the angels descended to the heavens, to the earth. And they were all wearing imamah like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. They were wearing what? Imamah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that Allah's rahmah comes to those who wear the imamah a lot. So will you wear imamah? Oh, ashamed. What is the word against this? Oh, no, I feel ashamed. So Rasulullah said that today you are ashamed of my sunnah. Tomorrow I will be ashamed of seeking intercession for you. Ashamed. Tell me. Dirty actions, we're not ashamed. When you do a good deed, you're ashamed. Huh? What will people say? I'm ashamed to wear the imamah. My friends, I am surprised and shocked that if 10 pence, if one pound coin falls on the ground, £1, what will happen? What will happen? We will pick that pound up
Even if it's in a dirty place, we'll pick the pound up. Oh, I'll wash my hands after. What difference does it make? The pound shouldn't be wasted. The pound on the ground. Once I was to see the wonders of the world. I thought, let me see what's happening. I was stood at my shop in the Arndale Centre. My shop. Business place. And then I sort of played a game. Sometimes I thought, let me see. I took a new pound came out. You know the new pound? When it came out, the coin. So I put a bit of, a glue on the back of it, and I stuck it to the ground, just on the side of the pathway. I said, let's see this game. What plays out? Whoever passed, man, woman, as soon as they saw the pound, they bent down, and they're trying to pick the pound up. They wiped it quickly, but they couldn't pick it up. They were ashamed. They walked off quickly. Every poor soul, and he bent down, he thought, let me get this pound, but he couldn't pick it up. From morning, I saw this. This is dunya wa hal. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that my one sunnah, if you do amal on it, 100 shaheed thawab. 100 shaheed. We're ashamed. Rasulullah sunnah. Is this not sunnah? Imamah? To wear imamah? Is this not sunnah? Tell me. What do we feel? Ashamed to wear the imamah. And the pound? No one hesitated. I saw the people even weak. They bent down, try to pick it up. Pick it up quickly. It's free. £1. Pull it. Until the pound, nobody could get that pound. And eventually came back to me that pound. This is dunya. Tell me. Yes? Just one experience of the dunya. I thought, let me just see what happens. This dunya, we run after, we die for the dunya. Yes? Every man was crying and looking for that pound. The pound, come back. The person went past, couldn't pick it up, came back a little while after, couldn't get it, felt ashamed, he thought, I'm taking too long, walked off. Allahu Akbar, my brothers. So, rahmah, mercy of Allah. Rahmah. That's what we should ask for. Allah's rahmah gives everything to a person. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, what was it I was trying to explain? The person who doesn't pray salah, there's an azab, the third azab, that he comes out to the fold of Allah's rahmah. Three azab inscribed on his face. Allah's ghazab, statement written on his face. Allah's ghazab, wrath, Allah's anger. On his face is written that he has broken Allah's right. Allah's ghazab is surrounded this person, and Allah's mercy is far from. He's out of all of these three things. Away. Written on his face. So should we leave salah? Never. Never. Doesn't matter how much loss you see in the world. Never leave salah. Close your tills. Close your money drawers. Because you're earning hell. Run to salah immediately. Immediately. So when there's such a great deed, salah. Such a massive benefit of salah. So should we not protect this action of salah? Or should we leave this salah? If we don't protect salah, then how much loss I will accrue? Much loss. 100,000, if I give to you now to protect 100,000, immediately you'll run to the bank. I don't want anybody to steal it. I need to open a bank account and deposit the 100,000. I don't want anybody to steal it. Should it? Shouldn't we do it? Of course we should. We should protect it. It's money. You have to protect it. Obviously. Otherwise it might go astray. Allah's given you tawfiq of salah that He hasn't given to millions of other people. Millions of other people haven't got the tawfiq for that salah. Allah's given them tawfiq to make money, to earn, to run businesses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, multiply. Allah's given you tawfiq after one salah, another salah to pray. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah loudly. Subhanallah. Massive ni'mah. You go, Allah calls you back again. You go, Allah calls you back again. And a massive, immense thawab you're earning that I've explained to you already. The greatest thawab is this that you attain, that you meet Allah. You're conversing with Allah. And every person who's praying salah is on miraj. Allah Ta'ala didn't say that only I'll give miraj to this person who's salah like this and I won't give to anyone else. Feelings are different when you meet Allah, but you definitely meet Allah 100%. What a great rule. Every salah person prays, every musalli is meeting Allah. But according to your standard and your situation and your condition, the more you protect your salah, the greater way you will speak to Allah at that time and come back. Say subhanallah. You'll speak to Allah, Allah will speak to you. You're meeting Allah. So you'll not leave salah now, will you? No, if you, for example, if there's an excuse like corona, illness or problem, but even people who pray salah, they don't get many excuses. Sometimes if Allah wants to give you rest, Allah gives you the flu, you're tired now, I'll give you flu, you'll still get the thawab because you got a sharia excuse. Sit at home, I'll give you complete salah, rest for a bit, recuperate. So Allah gives flu to those people. Yes, Allah makes him severely ill. Allah, just to test that person. Yeah? But brothers, what we learn what we realize when Allah gives us tawfiq to do a good deed. That was one example, salah. Every good deed is a great deed. Now, if I tell you good deed, because we could go into a lot of detail, but there's an example. So from this example, you'll understand that every good deed has this value, just like salah, just like we had the example of salah. So what do we need to do is that just like the person who plants the tree, the plant, he protects his earth, his soil, he grows that plant, waters it. So same way, every good deed, to benefit from the good deed, we need to protect and preserve that good deed. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? So we have to preserve the good deeds. Preserve them. Otherwise they'll go to waste. How do we preserve the plant? What's the most important factor? Water. Watering the plants, the trees. So all the good amal, they're all like plants. Say subhanallah. All the amal we do, they're plants. They're trees. We plant them. We sow the seeds. They're like seeds. We sow them in the earth. Where did you plant the tree? In the earth, on the soil. And where do you plant the deeds? Subhanallah. In the earth of the heart. The earth, the soil of the heart. You plant the seeds of the deeds. Your deeds will go into your heart. You plant the seed of the heart. So then you need to grow that seed of the good deed. Just like to grow the plant, you water it, you nurture it, you give the climate, the temperature. Same way the deed that you plant in the heart, you need to water that deed. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Those amal that you're practicing, Allah's giving you water to preserve your deeds. If you don't water your salah will just sit there stale and it will not grow, it will not benefit you. Recitation of the Quran, if you don't water that deed of recitation of the Quran, it will stay stale. It won't grow, it won't multiply, it won't give you the benefit, it won't give you the fruits. So it's lazim, essential. Just like you water the plants in your world, in the dunya, and you water it, you nurture it, and it grows high at all. Same way, how do we multiply our deeds? We water our deeds. Allah, what is that water? Allah says the water is present. It's there. It's present. What is the water of the deeds? وَذْكُرُوا رَبِّكَ تَبَتَّلْ تَبْتِيلًا. Allah says, بُكْرَةً وَأَسِيلًا. Subhanallah. Allah says, your deeds, the plant of your deeds, water the morning and evening. Morning and evening. What's the water of the amal? Dhikrullah. The water of the deeds is dhikrullah. The water of amal is dhikrullah. When you pray salah, and with salah you do dhikrullah, then you're watering your salah, and your salah will multiply, grow, become strong. That's the meaning of this hadith. That deed which is done in parallel with dhikr, its color, effect is different. Its magnitude is different. Its fruit is different. Any deed that's done in parallel with dhikrullah, umrah with the dhikrullah, hajj with the dhikrullah, recitation of Quran in parallel with dhikr, and this amal you do without dhikr, both, the difference is like the difference in the height between the heavens and earth. Because you're watering the deed with dhikr, it's multiplying and enlightening and benefiting and becoming stronger. So that's why it's essential. That's why wadhkur rabbika bukratan wa asila. وَسَبِّهُهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَسِيلًا. Various places in the Quran, Allah says, do my dhikr in abundance. Because the amal I'm giving you, the deeds that you're practicing, those deeds will have life with dhikr. You'll get the fruits from your deeds via dhikrullah. That salah will not be the same. That deed will not be the same if you do it with dhikrullah. It will get watered and will be nurtured and it will get the strength. There will be a big difference, big difference. SubhanAllah, every individual who wants life in his deeds and growth in his deeds, Rasulullah said, along with your deeds, do dhikr kathir, abundance. Morning, if you start the day with dhikr, alhamdulillah, all the ibadah that come in the day till the evening, you have watered all those deeds, subhanAllah. If you give water to the plants in the night, you do dhikr, when the ibadah come in the night, When you do dhikr in the night, then the deeds from the night to the morning, you've watered them. What a famous hadith that we recite various times. What did Rasulullah ﷺ say? He said to his noble companions, that were my companions, that shall I tell you such a deed, such an action, such an amal, which is from all of your amal, the best of deeds. SubhanAllah. What a great hadith. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah ﷺ said, my companions, what did he mean here? That shall I tell you such an amal, that if you take all of your deeds, is the best of your deeds. All of your amal that you perform, from all of those deeds, it will make them the best of deeds. It will give them the higher rank if you do this deed. Say subhanallah. Understand that point? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I tell you such an action? That your amal will be magnified. Magnified. They will go on to the first class element. If you do dhikr, your recitation Quran will be first class Quran. Whatever amal you do will become first class standard. Then Rasulullah said, shall I tell you such a deed? Shall I not tell you such a deed? That in the eyes of your Lord, it's the purest of deeds. Purest of deeds. What a tashri' of this hadith. What a beautiful commentary. That due to the amal, your amal in the eyes of your Lord will become pure. So number one, your deeds will be magnified. Number two, your deeds will be purified. When you do amal, there's riya, pride, kibar, showing off, status, desires. When you do amal, which diminish your amal, waste them, burn them. But Rasulullah said, I'll tell you such a deed, that this deed will purify your deeds in the eyes of your Lord. You'll be free from riya, free from showing off, free from pride. You'll be pure, your deed, and then you'll be presented to Allah. Rasulullah, please tell us, what is this deed? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, shall I tell you such a deed, which amongst all your amal, it will elevate the daraja, the status of your deeds. If you pray salah, it will be a high grade salah that you cannot imagine. That such a water I'll give to you that will elevate all of your deeds. Subhanallah. Look at this commentary. Eh? Then Rasulullah sallallahu said, just like you give sadaqah, gold, silver, money, you give, don't you? Rasulullah said, it's such a deed, shall I tell you this deed, when you do this amal of charity, it will elevate your sadaqah, it will be elevated. Give silver, gold, whatever sadaqah you give, it will propel your sadaqah to the highest level. And the same way when you struggle in the path of Allah, the Sahaba Ikram, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a fantastic deed. That it will elevate, propel our deeds to the highest. What is this amal? What is this deed that you're telling us? And Rasulullah ﷺ replied, Dhikrullah, Dhikrullah. So now do you have yaqeen from this hadith? It is the water of our deeds, isn't it? Dhikrullah. That when you want to do a good deed, when you do a good deed, alhamdulillah, then you can protect it with two things. Progression, promotion. Remember, two things. Two things, remember. If I prayed salah, there are two things. If you want your salah to have promotion, progression, elevation, then there are two things that will create that. Not this, that you pray salah, oh, I've just prayed salah, that's it, I'm free now. No, I've recited Quran. No, no, no. We have to protect, preserve such a big wealth, and you're leaving, oh shaitan, come and take my deeds away. No. Two actions definitely we have to do. Number one, whatever when it will promote your deed. Number one, that the amal that Allah Ta'ala has enabled you to do, that millions of others ain't. Like you're sitting in dhikr now. The same people of Bolton here. Is this the number of people in Bolton? That's it? Is this the population? Allah, but there are many people, rich people, wealthy people, high grade people, in different ways, according to the dunya and according to the akhirah as well, with ilm, knowledge. There are many people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for reciting his name, has selected you people. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Hazrat Thanvi sahab, rahmatullahi, someone asked him, the Hazrat, I do dhikr, but I don't enjoy it when I do dhikr. I don't enjoy the feeling. Yeah? Because people don't come here. They don't come. Why? They don't enjoy it. And that's why they're sitting outside, gab shab, chit chat, gossip, I'm this, I'm that. And they talk about their status, I've become this, and I don't need to do dhikr. I'm already high grade Muslim, I'm strong, I've got taqwa. Why do you need to? That's why they don't come here. They don't see no insignificance. If there's a big cauldron of biryani and the smell's going floating out, we enjoy it because the food's going in our stomach. We enjoy it. We go upon enjoyment. So somebody said, Hazrat Sahib, I do dhikr, but I don't enjoy the dhikr I'm doing. I don't feel that emotion. Obviously, if there's no emotion, enjoyment, there's laziness. These are those people who get enjoyment in the dhikr of Allah who are here. In your tongues, Allah Ta'ala has attached the taste of his reciting his name. You are the same human beings, aren't they? Who are running away from it. Your human beings, the name is dhikr. Oh, no, it's okay. Put the board up. No, no, it's okay. Dhikr. I prayed salah to go now. Read Quran at home. I'll do other actions. We have no need to do here. It's a waste of time. We're pious people. We don't need this. So, what is this? One is the selection of Allah. Allah's intikhab, Allah's selection. So, what a great deed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his dhikr. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Allah Ula wa Ula, and then we say the statement in the khutbah, Ala Ula Darajat. after we say dhikr, then the khutbah is summarized and sealed. Say this, don't we? Wala dhikru al-akbar, ula, awla, afdal, superior. And then all these statements, right at the end of khutbah, who's this praising? What is it praising? Dhikrullah. Allah's remembrance, Allah's name. We're listening. Imam Sahib is praising. Tell me. So, the Allah's given tawfiq to someone to dhikr. Allah Ta'ala instills that taste. They say, we are mad after Jummah without doing dhikr. We'll go, they sit, do dhikr, then they depart. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah again. These ni'mas Allah's given to you. Imagine this point. Imagine when you, this envelope will be opened and thereafter, the people who leave and don't do dhikr, you'll see their rewards, and those who stay, you'll see the rewards. Many people know how to run away after Jummah. But when Allah's praising in khutbah, ala ula darajat of this amal of dhikr, then are we mad, we'll run away after Jummah? No, 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 we'll spend 10 minutes. No difference. We'll please Allah, then we'll leave the masjid. Subhanallah. Do you promise? Will you stay? Do you do dhikr after Jummah? Does this dhikr take place in any other masjid, any other place? Such a unique action that wherever Allah Ta'ala wills, just like gold, you cannot mine it anywhere. You can't mine diamonds anywhere in the world. Subhanallah. Can you get diamonds anywhere? Gold can you get everywhere? So dhikr can you get everywhere? No, you can only get dhikr where there's a wali Allah, friend of Allah. Gold you'll get where there's the gold merchant, the gold miner. Dhikr, where will you attend? Say loudly, where there is the friend of Allah, the wali Allah. If Allah is with him, there's nothing else with him. Nothing else. Look at that. What a great point. So will you just get dhikr without al-wali Allah being there? What a great asset. Dhikr, Allah says, wherever that wali Allah sits and does dhikr, my remembrance in the masjid, outside, in the street, in the alleyway, wherever he sits, Allah Ta'ala says, that portion of the earth, I make it the portion of paradise, garden of paradise. And in that garden, I instill such a noor in that garden on the earth, that in the heavens, people in the world are blind. They see money, pounds, currency. Allah says, the inhabitants of the heavens who see the light where dhikr is performed on the earth, in the heavens the angels see the light on the earth. What is this light? Allahu Akbar. Imagine, this is the glory of the walis of Allah. The walis of Allah, they don't recognize by money, currency, mal, notes, shops, businesses, assets, miracles. These don't identify a wali Allah, or ilm, or knowledge, or technicalities. How do you recognize a wali Allah? From the dhikr of Allah. From the dhikr of Allah, you recognize a wali Allah. Allah wala, if you want to recognize a friend of Allah, there's one distinct point of recognition. They don't have miracles or these different things. If you want to recognize wali Allah, it's not me saying this, it's hadith. Pick up the hadith. Any wali of Allah in the world, you want to recognize him, I want to find a wali Allah. What's the recognition? What's the criteria? I want to find him so he can do dua. Today you'll come to ask for dua. Tomorrow you'll come to ask for Allah's name. Make the connection. Okay, you come for ta'weez. Maybe you come for him to blow on your water to do dam. Okay, you've come to the wali Allah, you come for dam. But inshallah, you'll depart with the name of Allah. With the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. These fountains Allah Ta'ala has established in the world. What is the recognition criteria for the wali Allah? No other miracle or ilm or this and that, knowledge of this and that. Nothing at all. There's only one recognition factor of the wali Allah. What is that? The dhikr of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. Morning dhikr, evening dhikr. Whenever, ever, he always speaks about what? Remembrance of Allah. Remembering Allah. Dhikr of Allah. Immediately stick yourself, adhere yourself to that person. Adhere yourself to the person. I tell you clearly, Hazrat Sahib, no karamah did I see, no mu'jaza, nothing at all did I see about Hazrat Sahib. Nor did I seek this, alhamdulillah, nothing at all. Nothing at all. One action or so, every moment he was immersed, maraqib, in the dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Sahib, Medina, Makkah, Hajj, Umrah, Baytullah, Kana Kaaba, anything, everything I saw, he was such a dhakir. His tongue was moist with the dhikr of Allah. Wet with the dhikr of Allah. End of story. What are the signs? In my life, I saw no karamat, no miracle of Hazrat Sahib, nor did I see, nor did I seek it, nor did I have a desire to find it. Greater than this is the greater miracle. That man who is immersed in the enjoyment of dhikr of Allah, can there be a greater wali of Allah than him? I close my eyes, and all those people, I turn my face away from those people. Big titles, this karamat, this miracle. In my life, I can give you examples. That I have. Why did I have love for Hazrat Sahib? My Sheikh, he didn't show me a miracle, he didn't fly, show me this and ta'weez. Wallahi, nor did I have desire, nor did I seek it, nor did I request it. I didn't even ask Hazrat Sahib to do dua for me. Why? There was no need. When a waliullah, you sit with him, automatically your dua is accepted. No need to run and ask him. What else did I do? Hazrat Sahib, give me the answer. Once when I asked, we have Baytullah, Hajj time, in Makkah, in front of Baytullah, there was no water to have a bath. I knew Allah gives everything. Allah gives everything. Went to Hazrat Sahib. Hazrat Sahib, is Jummah all week. The water switched off. We are those who live on the streets. Person, when he lives his life, he lives with difficulty on the streets. You don't get 5-star hotel in the Wali Allah. On the street, it was a bag and the roadway. That's it. Footpath, cup of tea, no food after that, just a cup of tea, bit of rest, back to Allah. I said, Hazrat Sahib, no water's come for a week, do dua. Hazrat Sahib, why are you asking me? Baytullah is here, and there's multazim, go and do dua yourself in front of the multazim, subhanallah. I understood. I said, yes, Hazrat Sahib said, right, if I am sat with the Wali Allah, whatever you think of and ask from your heart in front of your Shaykh, Allah will accept it. Easy. If you have the nisbat, the connection with the Wali Allah, that's all. I'm not speaking about myself. I'm not a Wali Allah, friend of Allah. I'm not giving you this dawah invitation. No, I'm not even the dust of the shoes of the Wali Allah. Not even the dust of the shoes. I'm just giving you the methodology. Come, look for the Wali Allah. And what is the tariqah, the method? What is the method? What's the tariqah? Where? Wherever Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, you see. Wherever you see next to that man, if he's doing dhikrullah, then if no one else thinks he's a Wali Allah, then his iman is on a low level. He hasn't understood the Quran. He hasn't understood any hadith. He doesn't know what is deen. He doesn't know the reality of deen. Yeah? He hasn't understood the value of the dhikr of Allah and how to identify the Wali Allah. So I'm not saying this myself. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatul alayhi, his own words. That person who goes to a Naqshbandi sheikh, Naqshbandi true sheikh, khalis, they are sincerely immersed in the dhikr of Allah. The other silsalas, dhikr is done by the tongue. By the tongue. All the salasil orders are high, great, haq, truth, correct. All the tariqas are correct. Because all the 4 salasil, I have permission. And I have a link. And I've been taught. Every silsala order is high. But Naqshbandi silsala is unique. So great. So high. Just like from all the sahaba, Abu Bakr Siddiq was the greatest. Naqshbandi silsala is the greatest from all the orders. All silsalas, all go and meet to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And Naqshbandi silsala goes to where? Say loudly, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So that's the difference. I won't say anymore. Won't say anymore. All silsalas are true haq. But the difference is here. Subhanallah. Siddiq had one thing. Unique factor. Unique factor. Rasulullah was enough about Abu Bakr Siddiq. What did he say? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That everything that was in my heart, I poured into your heart, O Siddiq. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So this silsila, what you get? With silence, you get the attainment. Whatever's in the heart of the Shaykh, it will come into your heart, the benefit. Subhanallah. No noise, kalama showing off. Ikhlas, sincerity. Attach your heart to the heart of your teacher. And this is maraqabah. This is maraqabah. What is this? Maraqabah. So this is such a tariqah, method of dhikr, alhamdulillah. The best tariqah, the brilliant tariqah. Without asking, close your eyes, focus, have tasawwur, present yourself to Allah, do maraqabah, your shaykh's connection with you, present yourself, fares will descend to you. Because tariqah of Abu Bakr Siddiq was this, radiyallahu anhu, subhanallah. That's why this silsila is the superior silsila. Yes, this is the great, great path. And tariqah, so Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani Ramdhullah said, whoever has a connection with the Naqshbandi Kamil Shaykh, subhanallah. There are many shaykhs there, but the Kamil Shaykh, you have a connection, you put your hand in his hand, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani is giving a guarantee, I guarantee to you that you will never leave this world unsuccessful. Never. Subhanallah. That's it. Stamp of approval. So Allah has given us many paths, ways, methods, practices, alhamdulillah. Even then we don't do the dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah, through dhikr of Allah, our deeds accepted, darajata, elevated. Allah purifies our deeds. Allah Ta'ala elevates our status. Allah Ta'ala accepts the deeds. What else do we want? But we don't want to do dhikr. We don't want to come to the majlis of dhikr. We don't like to do dhikr. We don't enjoy dhikr. We don't believe in dhikr. We don't have certainty in dhikr. Then what other action will shaitan want to do? My brothers, stick yourself to this path. If you want success, alhamdulillah, never be lazy from dhikr. Don't make any excuse. If shaitan says, I'm not enjoying it, I don't accept it, I don't understand it, I don't benefit from it, How can you not get benefit? How can you not get benefit? Ask him. If you understand or not, whether you realize or not, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullah, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, whether you enjoy it or not, whether you feel like it or not, whether your heart feels like it or not, whether you want to do it or not, but never leave dhikrullah, because 100% there's benefit, 100% you'll get it whether you feel it or not, but you will get the benefit. Subhanallah. Bas, all we need to do is be grateful. We're saying that deeds we preserve and protect with two things. Number one, the deed that Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq for you to do, like I said, dhikr, Allah has given you tawfiq to do. And we spoke about the other deed before that, salah, whatever deed you do, how do you protect it, preserve it? Number one, you should be grateful for that deed. Shukr. Allah, I am millions of times grateful to you. From millions of other people, you selected me that I prayed Dhuhr salah today. Definitely you have to be grateful. Point number one, you will protect your salah. Yani, you've watered that deed. You have watered that plant. Allah, I'm immensely grateful to you, your karam, your grace. I'm so happy, Allah, grateful that you gave me the tawfiq to pray salah. If I look around me, millions of people who have not prayed salah, Allah, I've come to you to pray salah. I'm so grateful to you, Allah, I'm so grateful. Point number one, every salah you pray with jama'ah, in the depths of your heart, be grateful to Allah. This is the water of the deed, number one. And secondly, dhikrullah. Dhikrullah, to protect the deed. Two steps. If you haven't learned dhikr, then find a Naqshbandi shaykh and learn qalbi zikr. Yeah, not the tasbih dhikr with your hands, with the mouth. Make the heart the tasbih. Make your heart the tasbih. The tasbih rosary bead you have to flick with your hand. Naqshbandi, it's not his status. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We don't count. Countless. Kathira. Kathira dhikrun kathira. You know, like you say, you know when you enter into the phone, unlimited minutes, unlimited data, unlimited minutes, unlimited texts. So with Allah, have a connection for unlimited dhikr. Yeah, you know on the phone, the package you select, you want unlimited package. So why don't you go to less? So why don't we do unlimited dhikr? Kathir, there's no limit. As long as your heart is alive in the world, whether you've got tuberculosis, ill, you've gone mad, crazy, foolish, whatever people say to you, whatever condition you are, but you learn dhikr of the heart from a shaykh, whatever situation surrounds you, but your heart will continue to do the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. Even if you're unconscious, I'll tell you in Karachi, a relative of mine, I'll tell you, very close, heart, open heart surgery. Heart surgery in Karachi, true event, Aga Khan Hospital. You can go and verify this yourself if you want. He's a dhakir, remembers Allah, alhamdulillah. The pious predecessors I've told you about, big jama'ah, he also hosts dhikr. Hosts dhikr. So you had pain in the heart, condition, open heart surgery. He said, okay, no problem, big doctors who did the surgery. Aga Khan, big hospital in Karachi. So they opened his heart, you know, took his heart out. And the surgeon, the head surgeon, he came out to his wife. He said, what is it, your husband, what is it he does? And he said, why are you asking? He said, his heart is a unique sound coming. He said, what? He was shocked. He's unconscious, heart surgery. But what's his heart saying? Allah, 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 Allahu Akbar. Yes, go and ask Aga Khan Hospital, Karachi. And she started to smile. She said, he's a dhakir, it is dhikrullah. He said, subhanallah. He said, I heard before, but now I'm seeing with my eyes. Subhanallah. He said, we used to hear the pious elders. He said, but now with my eyes, I'm watching this, I'm doing the operation. And his heart is open, and his heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So my brothers, waliyallah, if his finger is on your heart, and don't think it's no benefit, nothing. Whatever condition you're in, even if you're unconscious, even if you have died, rather, let me say it, even if in your qabr, your heart will be alive with dhikrullah. Subhanallah, your heart will never die. Your heart will never die. Your heart is so alive until qiyamah, it is alive. It was that, let the finger of the shaykh apply itself to you, then you'll realize what I'm saying. So be value this, appreciate this. And don't say, it's no benefit, I don't feel like it, I thought dhikr was this, I'll get this and that, and my work of the world is not succeeding, my needs are not being fulfilled. Say, la hawla wa la quwwata straight away. My biggest need has been fulfilled, I have met with Allah. Subhanallah, if I don't need no other benefit after this, I don't need no benefit of the world, shops, businesses, trade, factories, I've been nothing else, I've attained Allah's nearness, that's it. That's it. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to perform his dhikr. Ameen. Recite the Rushdie.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه وياسين النبي الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي أزواج أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہم سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے صغیر و کبیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ جو زندگی ہم نے غفلت میں گزری میرے مولا ہمیں معاف فرما دے یا اللہ جو نادانی میں ہم سے گناہ ہو گئے میرے مولا معاف فرما دے یا اللہ جو خطائیں ہم سے ہو گئی معاف فرما دے میرے مولا یا اللہ تو پہ کرم رحم فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ تو آج کے ہمارے حاضری کو قبول فرما یا اللہ جو دعائیں مانگیں ان کو قبول فرما یا اللہ تو ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دے اے میرے مولا عذاب قبر سے بچا لے یا اللہ نزاع کے وقت سے بچا لے یا اللہ موت کا وقت ہم پہ آسان فرما دے یا اللہ موت کا وقت ہم پہ آسان فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری آخری عمر آسان فرما دے یا اللہ ہم پہ آزمائش نہ ڈال یا اللہ کوئی ہم پہ آزمائش نہ ڈال یا اللہ ہر دینی آزمائش سے ہمیں بچا لے صحت و عافیت نصیب فرما یا اللہ صحت و عافیت نصیب فرما یا اللہ علم نافع نصیب فرما عمل نصیب فرما نماز نصیب فرما تلاوت نصیب فرما ذکر نصیب فرما اچھے اعمال نصیب فرما ان سب پہ ہمیں شکر نصیب فرما ذکر نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل کرم سے اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما بار بار ہمیں اچھی محفلیں نصیب فرما اچھے ساتھی نصیب فرما اچھی صحبتیں نصیب فرما یا اللہ اپنے اعمال کے نیک اعمال سے ہمیں محبت نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ برے اعمالوں سے ہمیں نفرت پیدا فرما دے اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل خاص سے ہماری مجلس کو قبول فرما یا اللہ جو بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ جو پریشانوں کی پریشانی کو دور فرما یا اللہ جن حضرات نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا میرے مولا ان کے حق میں دعاؤں کو قبول فرما خاص طور پہ ایک ویگن میں ایک فیملی ہے جو بہت سخت اس کرونا کی بیماری میں آ گئی ہے بیچارے ان کے گھر والا بھی مر گیا باقی بچے بھی سخت اس میں بیمار ہیں اور کوئی بہت سخت بیماری کے اندر پورا عالم ہے ان کے لیے دعا خاص فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ نے نجات فرمائے اس بیماری سے سب سے نجات فرمائے یا اللہ ہم سب کو اس بیماری سے بچائے وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین